Scripture reading today from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and chapter 16, verse 4 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. This is the third week in a sermon series on the essential United Methodist beliefs. The first week, I preached on God the Father. Last week, I preached on God the Son. And today I will preach on God the Holy Spirit. So when United Methodists speak about God, they do so using Trinitarian language of Father, Son, and Spirit. The Apostles' Creed, which we say each week, begins with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And there's a section on Jesus Christ where it says Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, goes on to have several other things in there. Finally, we read, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And that's it. That's all it says. It says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The church has always been a bit hesitant to confine the power of the Holy Spirit by wrapping a bunch of words about who the Holy Spirit actually is. So it kind of leaves it open. It just simply says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I think the church believes, and rightfully so, that the Spirit tends to be the freest member of the Trinity. When Nicodemus encountered Jesus, Jesus told him, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In the United Methodist Church, we have the Book of Discipline. Within the Book of Discipline, there are several articles in there. Article 3 talks about the Holy Spirit. It says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from and is one being with the Father and the Son. He convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He leads men through faithful response to the gospel into the fellowship of the church. He comforts, sustains, and empowers the faithful and guides them in all truth. So you'll notice the text that I chose today really talked about this. This comes from these things from the Book of Discipline are right out of Scripture. And it says, convinces the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that comes right out of our text today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God creates in us a new heart. He creates in us a new character. So as I've said before, we are transformed from the inside out. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week I talked about recreation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, this recreation is taking place in us right now. It's not when we go to heaven. That's when things don't really get started. It's starting right here and now. We are being transformed from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are other denominations who have accused Methodists of what is called works righteousness. They say we teach that our works somehow earn us our salvation. That's couldn't be further from the truth. Wesley taught about holiness. That's what he taught about. And many of us know the right thing to do in any given situation. But knowing the right thing to do is only part of the equation. We not only have to know the right thing to do, which is good. That's a good starting point. It's better than not knowing the right thing to do. But knowing the right thing to do is a starting point. We must then follow through with that with action and do the right thing. So, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we actually choose to do the right thing. So holiness is both about knowing and doing the right thing. So as United Methodists, we do what we do, not in order to be saved, but we do what we do because we have been saved. In the letter of James, through the power of the Spirit, writes the following. He says, "Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves." So he puts those two together. Hear the word and do the word. So James was a good Methodist before they were even Methodists. He didn't even know it. He was at a good Methodist. So there are those today who promote things that seem to contradict Scripture and tradition of the Christian faith, and they will say that the Lord is doing a new thing, God is doing a new thing, the Spirit is blowing and doing a new thing among us. And that comes from Scripture in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. The prophet Isaiah says the Lord is doing a new thing. But we have to be careful when we hear such things. Can the Spirit do something that contradicts Scripture and the tradition of the church? Does the Spirit speak truth at one point in time and then speak some other truth at another point in time that contradicts that truth? No. The Spirit speaks the truth, and truth is consistent. So we say when the Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. So the United Methodist Church believes that the Scripture is God-breathed. That's what I told the kids down here. The Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Scripture is really the place where the Holy Spirit is alive. When we read the Scriptures, they come alive to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we read the Scriptures properly, they speak to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God is the Spirit speaking straight from the heart and mind of God, and the Spirit speaks to us through the Scriptures. So properly read, truth and the Scriptures are primary. And the evil one knows that as well. That's why the evil one begins many of his sentences with the following familiar phrase, "Did God really say?" You know, to deceive us. So we have to remember that people can say there's new things going on, and possibly we maybe have interpreted something wrong. Luther started the Reformation because the church had gotten kind of out of sync. And they weren't really following Scripture so much anymore. They were following traditions. And Luther said, wait a minute. We need to get back to Scripture because Scripture is primary. It's primary for United Methodists as well. We also use tradition and experience and reason to help us with interpreting Scripture, but Scripture is primary. So we could have some things that maybe we are doing wrong, you know? But we have to make sure through Scripture and through tradition to make sure that if we do challenge some things, that we are being scriptural about it. So I think sometimes the evil one can say things like, did God really say? And that tends to confuse us at times. I think the reason the Apostles' Creed says so little about the Holy Spirit is because there's actually so much to say about the Holy Spirit. And the creed can't say everything about the Holy Spirit, so it just gives you that short phrase, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and it leaves it kind of open-ended. The New Testament, and especially from the book of Acts onward through the Bible to the end of Revelation, is really about the work of the Holy Spirit. We see the power of the Holy Spirit when it energizes the disciples in Jerusalem, and they move out from Jerusalem to all around the different areas. We see in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, Those gifts are wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing, prophecy, discernment, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of those tongues. And then in Galatians, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits are love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So we see all these things that are products of the Holy Spirit. We listed a bunch of things here, so you can't put all that into the creed and define what that means. Now, sometimes we take certain gifts and elevate them. One of those gifts, speaking in tongues, can generate a fair amount of controversy in the church, even to this day. There are those who elevate one gift above other gifts. And there are some, we even say, that to truly be saved, you must speak in tongues. Now, Wesley was kind of cautious about such things. He didn't deny that people could, in fact, speak in tongues. He didn't deny that. But he believed that that gift is just one of many gifts that that God gives to people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So to elevate that one gift above all these other gifts wouldn't really be biblical. And instead of uniting the church, which these gifts are given for, if you remember a couple weeks back when I preached on chapter 12 in Corinthians, I said these gifts are given for the common good of the church, common good of the community. So if we lift certain gifts up above others, that tends to create disunity, that tends to divide. And that is something that Wesley was very much aware of. In the Book of Discipline, it does talk about speaking in a foreign tongue. Now, he talked about that within the context that in the Catholic Church, they may say the Mass in Latin. Wesley wouldn't go for that. He said we need to be communicating in the common language for the people. So when we speak, we should do so clearly. We should do so to where people can understand. And that's why he was a bit cautious about speaking in tongues and things like that. Wesley also spoke about the spiritual respiration, and that was used to emphasize the necessity of being connected with the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's like filling our lungs with air. We need that air. And he also said that the Spirit of God fills us up in order to refresh us, in order that we may do God's work in the world. So the Spirit is not only present among us, but the power of God is working in us through the power of the Spirit. So it's present on the outside, but more importantly, it's present on the inside. And if we stop breathing God, if we stop breathing in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll wilt. It's just a fact, you know? We have to breathe in God's air, as it were. It's kind of like football. Today's Super Bowl day. Denver's playing. I wish they were playing in Denver. They might have a better chance to win because up there it's a mile high. And you always see them breathing on the sidelines trying to get good air because there's a lack of air up there. You know, we have to do that from time to time in our lives. We have to rejuvenate ourselves by breathing in the Spirit of God. And we do that by reading Scripture. That's why Bible studies will always be going on in this church. As long as I'm here, there'll be some form of Bible study going on. The sacraments. That is a means of grace. That is this gift of God, this air that we can breathe. That's why Wesley had an open table, because he believed that this is a means of grace and it can transform people and even convert people. So that's why we have an open table here. And other spiritual practices. Lent is coming up. It's an opportunity to have some spiritual practices. One is to reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit. How is the Spirit working in your lives? How are you discerning where the Spirit is leading you? Lent is a good time for that. Come here on Wednesday night. We'll have a service. We'll do the ashes on the forehead. It'll be a good start for you. That'd be a good thing to do. So there you go. That's my plug for Wednesday night. So in closing, let me get back to our scripture once again for today. Jesus said, I will send the Spirit of truth to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So what does that mean? Well, thankfully, Jesus gives us a few hints about what that actually means. Jesus says in verse 9, he says about sin, because they do not believe in me. And when you get right down to it, what sin is really connected to belief. Sin is unbelief. You know, a lot of times we just fail to believe. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin. It's going to convict the world of sin because they do not believe that Jesus is a Savior. The Spirit is going to convict the world of that. And hopefully you've been convicted of that already by your fact of being here. In verse 10, it says about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. So what does that mean? Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And out of love and mercy for humanity, God sent his only begotten Son. We learned about that a couple weeks ago. We learned about that. So the Spirit convinces the community that Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He convinces us and convicts the world of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, Jesus says about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. So through the action of this triune God, we are now through the Trinity. We've talked about the Father, the Son, and now we've talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Trinitarian God, this triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, has taken and condemned sin and death and the evil one. He has condemned all that. In the triune God, sin and error have been swallowed up by truth and righteousness. In the triune God, death has been swallowed up by resurrection and new life. In the triune God, goodness has triumphed over evil. And that is the good news that the Spirit of truth will convince the world of. He will convince the world that Jesus Christ has done all these things, and all these things have been dealt with, and we are in the process now of being transformed. So we've completed the Trinity. Next week we'll be on to probably human beings, I would think, in the book, created in God's image. Well, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be created in God's image? We'll find out about that next week. So there you go. There's my plug for next week. Got to be back here next week. So I will close that we have completed understanding, the United Methodist understanding, of what it means when we speak about God. What are we saying? We're speaking of God in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In his name, amen.